Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at holidayinn.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ultimate Podcast. My name is Chris McGlynn, host of the show. Great to be back for another episode. Lots to talk about as College Nationals wraps up the college competition for the year, and now we turn our attention to the club season. We're in that weird in-between time right now where not a whole lot is happening, and we're just waiting for more club rosters to come out, and we can talk about which players are going where and who's going to win a national championship in October. But we'll save most of that talk for a future episode once we have more club rosters out and better sense for where all the top players will be competing this upcoming club season. So with that in mind, we're actually going to be talking about a really cool event on the show today, focusing on that a lot throughout. The Color of Ultimate game will be taking place this upcoming weekend in Atlanta, June 22nd at St. Pius X High School, if you happen to be down in the area. Well worth checking out. I'm really excited to keep an eye on this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. The game will be live streamed as well. And as a result, we're actually going to be talking to two of the organizers and players in the game. Shanee Crawford and Josh Fang will be joining the show to give us a breakdown on how this event came to be, what they hope to accomplish with it, and just some of the really cool aspects that have come about in terms of planning it. And they've done a ton of stuff already, and so we'll be talking about all of that in just a little bit. So stay tuned. First, let's put a little bit of a bow on the college season. I know it's been a while since the D3 and D1 college national championships actually took place, but in case you happen to have missed it, congratulations to Oberlin Praying Manti, Middlebury Pranksters, UCSD Psychos, and Brownie in Motion for winning the four college national championships this year. An exciting way to cap off the college season. Lots of drama, lots of intrigue, and I think some fun upsets as well. We got a chance to see some really great players that we had never heard of before take the stage, as well as ones that we've known for a while play out their final games in a college uniform. So very exciting to watch. It's always one of my favorite weekends of the year in both divisions. So games are available on UltiWorld, and I think the ESPN streamed ones should be coming out soon on YouTube, so keep an eye out for that. But overall, tons of great games to watch over the course of both weekends, and just a lot of fun to talk about. So I won't go into it too much more than that, because I know it's been a while already since College Nationals wrapped up, but congratulations to those four teams. Hard-earned championships to close out what was an exciting college season. And now, actually, we're going to turn our attention quickly to the PUL, where we have, for the first time ever, our four playoff teams have been announced. Very exciting stuff, as Medellin Revolution, New York Gridlock, Raleigh Radiant, and Atlanta Soul will all be competing at the inaugural championship weekend for the PUL. This should be great. There's going to be some great action down also in Atlanta, coincidentally enough. There's a lot of stuff going on in Atlanta right now, so we'll be sticking with that theme throughout the course of the show, but very excited to see how this all comes together. Looking forward to watching this championship weekend. These games between really all of these teams, I don't think we got a chance to see every single one of these matchups over the course of the year, but the games that happened between most of these teams, Medellin and Raleigh, was a very close game. I know that New York and Raleigh was a good game. So we're going to continue to see some really high-level skill displayed here and what should hopefully be a very exciting championship weekend. Very much looking forward to that. We'll talk about that again further down the road once championship weekend is closer to actually happening. But exciting that the four teams are now solidified and we know what the playoff picture looks like. So let's stick with the theme of Atlanta, and I'm going to give you guys a little bit of background on what this Color of Ultimate game is in case you haven't heard about it or maybe not too familiar with what's going on. And so it's a showcase game taking place in Atlanta featuring solely players of color competing in the sport of Ultimate. And I think it's a really great opportunity to showcase diversity, which is exactly what the Atlanta Flying Disc Club is trying to accomplish here, and also promote some conversation about it, because it's something that we don't talk about enough in Ultimate. The majority of the Ultimate playing population is white, middle class to upper class. You know, there's usually not a whole lot of financial barriers for most of us playing. And we're lucky that way, absolutely. And I think sometimes we overlook the fact that there are these barriers to the sport, and we don't talk enough about inclusion and diversity in Ultimate. And so I think this is going to be a great opportunity to promote the conversations surrounding diversity in the sport, and also just operate as an amazingly fun showcase game of some incredible talent for players who are players of color. And this is going to be, this is a stacked list of players that are competing. The big names going on down there. Aranya Palmer from Atlanta Ozone will be competing. Ari Lozano from Seattle Mixtape. Byron Liu from Revolver. We're going to see Eliza Mosquera from Medellin Revolution, and also who's been tearing up this PUL season playing for Revolution as well. Mark Rawls playing out in Colorado, a former standout on Colorado Mama Bird and part of Johnny Bravo in the past. Gabe Hernandez, the 2018 Callahan Award winner. Alicia Dixon playing for Molly Brown. Anders Olsen, a local kid playing with Emory College, but also playing with Chain Lightning in the club division. Dorico Johnson from Truck Stop. Jesse Bolton is also from Seattle Mixtape. Manuela Cardenas, one of the standouts on that Revolution team. And Maddie Smith, a local player as well, playing with Chain Lightning and the Atlanta Hustle. So it's going to be a great showcase of talent. Like, this game is not lacking big names. It'll be really fun to see all these players on the same field. And I don't think the plan is for this to be a one-off event. I'm hoping that they continue to do this for years to come. And it's a really cool thing. I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all unfolds. I think it'll be a great showcase for all of the diversity that exists in the sport and continues to drive the conversation around it. So with that in mind, we're going to talk to Shani and Josh right now about all the things that they've already accomplished and what they hope to accomplish with this game, as well as just how much fun they think it's going to be. So stick around for that. It'll be coming up in just a second. So stay tuned. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ultimate Podcast. I'm joined now by Shani Crawford and Josh Fang. You guys are both very active members in the Atlanta Ultimate community, both on and off the field, but primarily, I think, off the field. It's actually been really cool, some of the stuff you guys have been doing. Atlanta Flying Disc Club, you guys are part of the Project Diversity team, and we're going to be talking a lot about your initiatives involved there and some of the great things you guys are doing, really unique things, guys pushing the boundaries and what this sport has seen to this point. Before we get into any of that, though, Shani, I'll ask you first, and then I'll go to you, Josh. I want to know, how did you guys find the sport?
Okay, so I was a sophomore at the University of Georgia. I just moved to an area of campus that was called the Quad, and I'd see people throwing. Every now and again, they'd play something called pickup. I had no idea what that was. It took until my junior year for my now best friend to ask me to come out to a college practice, and I literally never looked back. From college to club with a mixed team first, Poles and Poles, shout out, and then Ozone, Bucket, yeah. Green space on a college campus.
Well, my story is a little different than Shani's. I actually heard of the sport first in high school. I was a sophomore. I had just transferred to a preppy boarding school in Massachusetts. And Ultimate was actually a varsity sport at that time.
Oh, really?
At my high school. This is in 2008. Yeah, Phillips Academy. It's in Andover, Massachusetts.
I know exactly where that is. I had a college teammate that went there.
Oh, yeah? Oh, cool.
Yeah, crazy.
So my brother, who's actually playing in this game, and he's a few years older than me, he played Ultimate and on the varsity team at that level. And he graduated high school in 2007. I transferred there in 2008, and he was like, hey, you should check out Ultimate. It's really fun. Like, you should play. And then I picked up the disc, started throwing with the people already there, and, I got hooked. It was really fun.
Yeah, it's usually how it starts. Somehow you get somewhere in the family, you get people dragging you in, and you're like, what are you doing? Why am I doing this? And then you look back 10 years later, and you're like, oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I'm too far down now. Can't turn back.
You know it.
You guys have been heavily involved in the sport for a long time. Josh, you played a year with the Atlanta Hustle. Shani, you were part of what was a great initiative this year and a push to have the Premier Ultimate League take off, part of Atlanta Soul. What have been, for both of you guys, the initial impressions of watching the Premier Ultimate League this year in its first season?
The PUL, I will admit, I am not as involved as Shani, I'm sure, is with the PUL, but we've definitely used the PUL as an inspiration as far as what we want to do. You know, with the gender equity movement, I'm all aboard on that and how successful they've been as far as generating interest, getting top level talent, fundraising, organization. So with the SOL specifically, and, you know, I guess the greater PUL as well, we've really looked to the PUL as, you know, sort of a consultant or, you know, guiding us in our growth as well, as far as pushing diversity initiatives in Ultimate. And, you know, the level of play has been fantastic. It's been super fun to watch and it's all positive vibes with the PUL. So, you know, that's my, you know, my take on it so far.
Sweet. I am getting to play. I am captaining the SOL. I'm also managing the SOL. And as a whole, I'd say that the experience has been unimaginable. Tons of people, men and women, have dreamed of playing professional Ultimate. I still am overcome at the thought that it is us, it is we who are getting to actually live it out. We're the ones who are loudly and strongly sponsored and supported by our community. We're the ones who get to take over airports and airplanes, travel domestic and abroad. We get to be live streamed and watched on TV and turned into highlight reels. All of that is super fun and beyond my wildest dreams. But I think the most important or most impactful part of this league and being a participant for me is knowing that we are the current iteration of people that are going forward so that some who have been relegated to the outskirts or the margins will also have a chance to go.
Yeah, I think this is we've seen so much of the community this year really buy into the league. You guys had an unbelievable fundraising success at the very beginning. Really, really cool to see so many people stepping up. And I mean, I'll admit, I actually was one of those people. I immediately jumped the opportunity to buy. I have one of my good friends on the Columbus Pride, immediately jumped at the opportunity to get one of those jerseys. I thought it was really neat to have a jersey with her name on the back. And it's been a great product so far this year. That first game that you guys, Atlanta, got a chance to participate in. I guess technically second game. Sorry, I don't want to slight. It was Columbus Nashville first. I don't want to slight that at all. That was another great game. It was a lot of fun to see, and I can't take away. Sadie had the first pull of that game, so I can't take that away. But no, I think it was really cool that whole display down in Medellin, being part of TEP, but just that whole thing, it felt like a professional sport, and there was no denying it. It was a really, really cool exhibition of just incredible high-level play, but also something that genuinely felt like a real professional sport. And it looked like it, it felt like it, and it was really fun to consume as a fan of Ultimate. So, I mean, it was really, I think this first season's been great. I'm excited to see the potential for growth across the board. I know there's been a number of teams out on the West Coast that have been doing kind of their own thing between LA and Portland and Seattle. I think we're going to continue to see more growth more towards the middle of the country along the East Coast. I mean, the East Coast is ripe for this. There's so much. And I know you guys are the first group. You guys are the first ones. This is, hey, we're putting out here. This is our initial product. This is nowhere near a finished product yet, but the fact that this is the baseline, this is what we're seeing already out of the gates, is very promising and very inspiring. I think there's a lot that to be proud of, and there's a lot to improve upon still, and there's a lot of potential. So it'll be a lot of fun. Can I also say, I don't think there's a more appropriately named team in the entire league. The Atlanta SOL feels right. Does it not? Like, that's the right name. I mean, you look around the rest of the league, and so Revolution kind of is its own thing, right? You take the step back, realize, okay, they're a club team, you know, whatever. That's going to follow them through. But I think Atlanta SOL just fits. Like, you've got that more than anything else in the rest of the league. I think it just fits.
I am clearly partial. I think it definitely fits, and I would even say that it lends itself to what we're doing with Project Diversity. I have been encouraged and supported to dream huge, and it's just kind of seamlessly rolled itself into this grand endeavor. It is grand. It has never been done before. We're building it as we present it, and that is made more possible and done so with more confidence, I can say personally, after the amazing, incredible, indescribable feeling of being a part of the pool.
I want to ask you guys now to put it in your own words. You guys have both mentioned Project Diversity. We'll be talking about that a lot now. Put it in your own words. Josh, I'll start with you here. What exactly Project Diversity is and what it stands for?
Yeah, so I guess to put it in short words, simple words, Project Diversity, we want to bring awareness and increase racial and socioeconomic diversity within the sport of ultimate. If you think about it a lot, you know, the vast majority of teams you've ever played on or played against are comprised of white and or upper class or upper middle class people. And that's simply not cool. That's not okay. You know, it's not something that I really realized when I was growing up. But now that I think about it more and more, it's like, yeah, that's not cool. Right. Like, why is it like this? And when you think about it at a little bit of a deeper level, it's ultimate is a sport that doesn't have a high cost of barrier to entry. You know, it's not like lacrosse or golf or hockey where you need all this equipment and all these special skills and trainers and coaches or whatever. It's actually much more like soccer and basketball, which are very diverse sports. You actually need less than those two sports, right? You just need a disc and a field, right? In soccer, you need a goal. In basketball, you need hoops, right? Or indoor courts or whatnot. In ultimate, you literally just need a disc and a field. And, you know, so everyone should be able to enjoy the benefits of ultimate. You know, I love ultimate. Hopefully most of the people listening to this love ultimate also and have benefited greatly for it. But then you realize who's benefiting. It's mostly upper class people. It's mostly white people. And our goal is to make the benefits of ultimate more enjoyable for everyone.
Very well said, Dang. I can speak for myself and no small amount of POC comrades when I say that this sport, we love it, but it hasn't taken the best care of us. It has struggled to see us and to acknowledge us. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that we are often missing from conversations around leadership. That may or may not be intentional, but something has to be done with intention to right the scale of representation. Even our goal with the game, the Color of Ultimate, is just to give POC the grandest possible platform. So we are playing, we are coaching, we are assistant coaching. Even this past weekend, the pool and Seoul and USAU pulled off an observer training and got more women and POC reps. So we're even going to be given the helm in the most possible spaces at this game. That is our goal, just to highlight brown bodies who are no less integral to the sport and no less deserving of the benefits of this community than any other member.
Well, I think that's really interesting to hear you talk about already the impact. The game hasn't even happened yet. I know we're still a few weeks away. For you guys already to be seeing the impacts, this is not just a publicity stunt. There is a genuine impact that you guys are trying to achieve through this game. You know, I'm curious to hear that in your own words as well, but also you talk about right there the fact that you've got people of color, the fact that you have women who are now being trained to be observers, you guys are already taking a very concrete and definable impact of this movement and kind of this effort you guys are undertaking, and you can see it already happening. There's already some real progress being made. But for each of you guys, Shinny, I'll start with you and we'll go back to Josh. What does it mean in terms of having, what is the intended impact for this game? We'll talk a little bit more about just kind of the fun parts of this game in a little bit, but what is the intended impact?
I think to ultimately begin to change the demographic of this sport, not just in number, but in, okay, so even with the, and I got to shout out our Project Diversity Committee. That's Josh Fang, Shani Crawford, Devin Cox, Lauren Lee, Andrea Palmer, Joseph Garcia, and Barkley Toole. Our group is diverse in person and in experience and in skill and talent, but the quality of the product that is being built, I don't think that we could have imagined the greatness. And it is simply because equal, or at least an attempt for equal representation and perspective to be at the table, has been made. Okay. So if that can happen in our Ultimate community as a whole, my goodness, this game is already incredible. This game is already life changing. But what if we all had an equal say in building this culture? What could Ultimate Frisbee be to the world? I think much more than a game. It could really change lives and better lives. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's incredible. I honestly don't know how to respond to that. That's, that is a huge undertaking, but one that you guys are not afraid to undertake. Josh, I mean, is there anything you want to add on to that? I think that's a tough act to follow, but I'll turn it to you.
It is, and I'll say it more in concrete terms. First, building off of what Shanice said, as far as changing lives, yeah, that's totally true, right? I coached a middle school ultimate team here in Atlanta, mainly Black, mainly lower income, and the stories that you hear are just insane. They're incredible, right? You got kids who are coming from backgrounds that, you know, basketball isn't quite their sport, and, you know, they played ultimate and they loved it. You know, they're excited for everything. They show up to the games, they show up to the clinics, they do all this stuff. I had one kid who, like, has never really been a sports guy. He comes out, he plays ultimate, he's great. And at our end of the season tournament, he's got like 12 fans, like, who came from out of town to see him play because they've never even, you know, played before, and, you know, they'd sort of given up hope and, you know, all that. You know, I have other parents who are like, hey man, we hope they make the team, like, he really loves it, like, you know, it'll be great for him. And then you got some other kids, you know, you got your basketball star who's like, oh, this looks pretty fun, like, I'll try this out, and he loves it too. It really makes a huge impact on a community in a way that they had no clue, like, this even existed, right? So that's sort of like a small tidbit of building on what Shanice said about changing. You know, it's more about than ultimate. It's really about, like, shaping communities and lives and, you know, making a huge difference on people. But going back away from what Shanice said, and now as far as, like, what we want the game to be, I have, like, we had three real main goals, right, when we had this game. First, it's as we've been talking about, to raise awareness that this racial and socioeconomic inequity is an issue in Ultimate, right? Like, we need to acknowledge that, hey, this is not okay. One, it's here. Two, it's not okay. And three, we need to actually actively do something about it, or it's not going to change, right? Second one, you know, we want to show and put, as Shanice said, put people of color on the grandest platform. And I said this to someone else, we have some of the best players in the world coming to this game, regardless of color. Like, you know, we have Gabe Hernandez and Byron Liu and Manuela Cardenas and Andrea Palmer. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. It has nothing, I mean, it has something to do with color, but, like, these are just complete studs, right? That's all it is. So we want to give, allow these people to, you know, put on a show and, you know, really showcase what we have. And the third thing, and perhaps the most important thing, is that we want people of color or people of areas that, or of demographics that aren't typically exposed to Ultimate, to come and watch this game and be like, whoa, this is super cool. I want to play. Like, this is totally awesome, right? And the truth of the matter is that we believe that if you see someone who looks like you doing something and doing something awesome, you'll be more likely to want to do that than if you see people who don't look like you, right? So if you have a bunch of African-American kids at this game and, you know, 40% of the players are African-American and they're like, whoa, you know what? That's cool. Like, where do I learn how to play that, right? But if they're watching a game and it's 95% white, like, you know, a lot of games are, they're going to be like, nah, it's not for me. Or like, what is this, you know? So, I mean, that's just the reality of the nature. So, you know, the third thing I was saying is we want people to come out to this game and really, like, be like, whoa, what a cool sport. How do I get involved?
Well, that's huge. That last part that you really hit on there. And I think that's the importance of creating this platform, creating this stage. And it goes back to what we were talking before with the Premier Ultimate League, is inspiring people and setting it up for the future and showing, hey, you know what? There is a place for this. Like, this is not something that, you know, is only confined to a certain demographic of the community. You know, there are people that do this. You don't need to be the trailblazer. The trail is already being blazed right now, and here it is. Here it is on display for you to see. You know, the old saying that I think the WNBA was the one that actually coined it: you can't be what you can't see. you know, that whole thing of putting it out there in front of people, it really does make an impact. It does. When you're a small kid and you're watching and you see someone who looks like you and you think, well, hey, if they're doing it, I can do that too. It's that small thing. And, you know, as adults, I think that gets lost sometimes because you don't feel the same way as you did when you were a kid. You're like, well, like, what difference does it make? When you're a child and you can see, you can emulate to somebody who looks like you and has the exact same, you know, whether it be appearance or physical traits or demeanor or, you know, same, yeah, just the same perspective or defining characteristics, it makes it much easier for you to visualize yourself doing that as well. You can immediately put yourself into those shoes and be like, hey, that's something that I could do. I can absolutely take that leap. And I think it doesn't hurt, as you guys both touched on, the level of talent that you guys have in this game is absolutely incredible. Take away, obviously, the overall enormous impact and some of the really, really amazing things that you guys are trying to accomplish. And just look at this from like a pure Frisbee perspective of like, do people want to watch these players like compete on the same field? Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is really cool too. You guys are both going to be in the game. Take a step back for a second from your perspective of like Project Diversity, like take a step back from that and just think like, how excited are you guys both to just be on like sharing the field with this set of players?
I'll talk first. Hey, I mean, I'm looking at this roster and we're just like, whoa, how did all these fantastic players agree to come here? And like, how did we make this work? And you know me, I played a year for the Hustle, but you know, I'm no stud out there. Right now, I'm just working out every day, trying to make sure that I don't look so terrible on the field next week. But yeah, I'm so excited just to learn from these guys and women that, you know so much about the sport and, you know, and we want to put on a show, and I'm just happy that I'm on the field with them. I mean, I'm super excited.
Oh, dang. I feel exactly the same way. I am just a huge fan of so many of these people, and that I am going to get to do the thing that I love best at the level, at such a high level is beyond my wildest dreams. Looking so forward to the game.
I mean, it's gonna be incredible. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. And I just think it's gonna be a great showcase of what the sport can be. I know that's something you guys have both talked about already, and there's no doubt in my mind that this has been a tremendous amount of effort from both of you guys to plan, and not just you two. I know this entire Project Diversity team has been heavily involved, as well as so many other people who have been behind the scenes making this all happen. But to you both, this has been a huge drain emotionally, physically, mentally. It all takes its toll. But yeah, here you guys are, not only doing, you know, whatever it is for you guys to enjoy your own experience, but ensuring that other people enjoy it too. Why do you both keep coming back to the sport? What is it that brings you back? Because there is so much investment from both of you. This takes a lot of time and effort, but you guys are here, enthusiastic and excited to be here. What is it that keeps you guys coming back?
So yes, this sport and this endeavor are super draining, but personally, as much as I put in, I get that back 100-fold. Things that I gain from this type of work are community. That's in my teammates and my opponents. I am a part of something so, so special. I get to go to work for and with people that are so important to me and who I know are doing the same thing for me. That feeling is almost, I don't have words for that. I am a student first and foremost in life, and so I love a challenge. This sport is hard. It is hard to play. It is hard to build these kinds of things. Relationships are hard, but this sport and this community also teach you, right? So we do a lot of hard things now publicly, and we have uncountable numbers of opportunities to grow. And that is what I most want in my human life, as an individual and with a bunch, as icing on the cake, really.
Yeah, for me, it's been very, you know, straightforward and why I love it. You know, I've learned so many things in life. You know, Ultimate's a big part of my life. It's not my entire life, but it's a big part of my life. And how I've been able to live life to the fullest, Ultimate's really helped me get there, right? Whether it's getting to know a bunch of great people, learning how to respect yourself and others in competition, you know, mediation, relationships, overcoming adversity, you know, reaching your max potential, controlling what you can control and not focusing on uncontrollables. You know, there are just so many things that Ultimate brings. Never mind, of course, you know, the health benefits. You know, I'm in great shape. I can run. I've never been really sick or anything. You know, all of those things have meant so much to me. And I touched on this a little earlier, right? Why can't all these other people have access to the benefits that I've had? You know, whether if they are low income or if they are of a specific race or, you know, ethnicity, like everyone should be able to enjoy those and have those benefits that I've had. So I really think that, you know, for me, it's making an impact. It's like Ultimate is a way that I know I can impact and positively impact communities and people. So I guess that's sort of why, you know, all the hours we're putting in behind the scenes and up front and all the disagreements Shania and I have, you know, talking on the phone. We were just talking last night. Oh, yeah. But like, you know, it's all worth it because we know, you know, we're actually doing something that makes the world a better place.
I think that's probably the most holistic response I've gotten out of asking anybody on this show about why they stick with it. You guys are both amazing. I applaud you guys for the work that you guys are doing. It's been absolutely fantastic. And I know it's just the beginning because we haven't even gotten to the game yet. I'm so excited to see that all unfold. One last thing I'll leave you guys with, actually. Just can you guys tell people where they can go, how they're going to be, if they're not in the area, how you guys can, how people will be able to watch the game?
Right. So the game will be on Project Diversity's YouTube channel. It will be live streamed. We'll tweet it out. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll put it on Instagram. I don't know the URL like by
sure, list, sure.
A bunch of stuff. But yeah, it's on Saturday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. It will go live on YouTube. It's free, so everyone can watch it. I hope everyone does because the more viewers we get, the better. You know, and hopefully everyone takes this game and has something they can take home and bring to their communities, you know, to make Ultimate more accessible for everyone and hopefully, you know, change communities and change lives.
Well, I thank you both for taking the time to come talk to me. I know it's busy right now. I know you guys have been doing lots to prep for this. So I really do appreciate you taking some time to chat with me.
Thank you. Thanks. This is awesome.
Wrapped up talking to Shani and Josh. Big thanks to both of them to making some time in what is a very busy schedule for them both to come on the show. Really appreciate it, and a lot of fun getting a chance to learn more about how this game came to be and some of the things that they've experienced in their Ultimate careers. Because it's, you know, it's a very different perspective than what I've had, for sure. I mean, I've gotten a chance to play in some great games and an opportunity to play at all sorts of levels throughout my career. And, you know, I know that I've been privileged to do so, both because of the color of my skin and because of my financial background and my ability to make these things happen for myself. And so, you know, I think it is really important that we continue to have this conversation in the sport and acknowledge that there are definitely barriers that still exist and that this conversation is ongoing and not something that we can say, okay, cool, we talked about it, good, we can put that to bed now. It's definitely going to be a conversation worth having in the future. Very excited to watch this game. Again, it's at St. Pius X High School in Atlanta this upcoming weekend. If you happen to be down in the area, I highly recommend you go check it out. I wish I was able to be down there myself. And if not, the game is being live streamed. I will share the live stream link when I find it on social media. I don't think it's going to be live officially until this upcoming weekend, so not something I can really post too far in advance, but definitely something to keep an eye on. Keep an eye out for that on social media. I'll be sharing that on both Twitter and Facebook, as will the Atlanta Flying Disc Club Project Diversity Twitter handle, which you can go and follow yourself, especially if you want to get more updates about the game coming up this weekend. So all that being said, should be a really fun event. I'm really looking forward to it. Looking ahead now to future episodes, I don't have anything currently lined up for a future guest, hoping that maybe we'll get some more club talk on the show in the future as well as we'll have to focus on U24s coming up in just a couple of weeks out in Germany as well. So we'll be talking about all of that But as of right now, don't have anything planned there. And also a quick little update on the show itself. After talking a little bit further with the Flatballer, I know I had talked about announcing a partnership with them and rebranding the show. We came to realize that it wasn't really going to work out for either of us, and that it was just kind of a, you know, difference of opinion how we wanted to make the show work going forward. So we decided to kind of call that off before we even really got started. So the show will be sticking under the name of The Ultimate Podcast going forward. I won't rule out the possibility of a future rebrand at some point. As always, I say, if you have any ideas for what to rename the show, feel free to hit me up on social media, because I've been trying for a while and I don't seem to have anything very concrete to go with. But excited to, you know, just continue to work with what I've got going on right now. Lots of fun doing the show. You know, I really can't complain about it. It's always one of my favorite things to do. And excited to kind of, you know, dive into the club season now as that begins to get underway. And hopefully going to have some big names on the show in the coming weeks. So keep an eye out for that. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. As always, always appreciate the support. If you're looking for ways to interact with the show and with me personally, I'm on social media. You can find me at The Ultimate Cast on Twitter. On Facebook, The Ultimate Podcast is the Facebook page. And if you're looking for more places to listen to the show, if this is the first time you're listening and wanting to find out more places that you can listen, we are on Spotify, we are on Stitcher, and we are also on Apple Podcasts. So really anywhere that you want to listen to your podcast should be able to find the show. As always, feel free to rate and review the show, give us some feedback, and help other people find the show when they go through the search algorithm looking for us. So, you know, all of that is always much appreciated, and, you know, I can't thank everyone enough for the support that I continue to draw on the show every time I do it. So thank you everyone for tuning in. You guys will hear from me again soon.
Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at holidayinn.com. Terms and conditions apply. Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at holidayinn.com. Terms and conditions apply.